Good day, friends. We again come to you with simple studies in the Gospel through Mark. You know, sometimes I think that I repeat too often on this broadcast, but when I meet people from different parts of the country who listen, I've been amazed how often they have thanked me for the fact that I take it easy and repeat some things. And after all, as someone as well said, if a thing is worth having, it's worth repeating. If it's not worth repeating, it's not worth having. Well, I'm just quoting somebody on that. Now, I sincerely hope that the Lord is blessing this simple study to your own heart and mind. Especially do I want you to see something of the loveliness of our Savior as we talk about Him. And we've been dealing in this ninth chapter of the Gospel through Mark how the Lord left the Mount of Transfiguration, where you remember His face did shine as the sun, His raiment was white as light. And He talked with Moses and Elias concerning His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. And about Peter was so excited, he said, let's make three tabernacles, three tents. Let's stay up here. And about the Lord, you remember, God spoke and said, my son has come. You hear my son. Never mind Moses or Elias. They came down into the valley, and he found people in terrible need. He found a boy demon-possessed and a distracted father. And how He met their need, cast the demons out of the boy. And then the disciples said, why didn't we cast them out? Why couldn't we cast them out? And our Lord said, this kind of faith can only come by prayer and fasting. There must be a continual walk with God. What you had last week will not suffice for you today. It can be an encouragement to you today, but can't suffice for you today. These disciples had cast out demons before. You remember, they had cast them out. And they rejoiced because the demons were subject to them. And now they felt themselves, nine of them together couldn't cast them out. Again I say, please don't depend upon past experiences. Though they may be marvelous experiences, build your faith upon experiences. Build your faith on the Word of God. And faith continues to grow as you stay in the Word of God. As Romans 10 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the more you go into the Word of God, the more you see the Savior, the more you fall in love with Him. And the more you begin to realize something of what God wants of you. And again I say, it's in the valley we see His power. We don't see His power on the mount. We see His power in the valley. We don't see His tenderness on the mount. We see it beating a distracted father and a helpless child. So now we come to another part of the Scripture from verses 33 to 50. We're dealing now with the Lord teaching His disciples humility. Remember in verses 30 to 32, He had again for the second time announced His suffering, His death, and His resurrection. Remember that He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, because of your need and because of my need, because there was no other way, and there is no other way. That's why Christ left the Mount of Transfiguration and came back to this veil of tears and sin and lawlessness and crime and death and hell, because there was no other way. He didn't send an angel. He came Himself. Now, we find He's going to give them a lesson on humility. And remember the background. He humbled Himself. I'm reading from verse 33. And He came to Capernaum, and being in the house, He asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. I think that maybe they were a little ashamed of themselves. And He sat down and called the 12 and said to them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and the servant of all. And He took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when He had taken him in His arms, He said to them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Let me just stop there for a few moments. Here our Lord came down to Capernaum, And you remember that Capernaum was his base of operation during his 3 years of ministry in Galilee. And it may have been Peter's home, I don't know. But you remember he came to the home and rebuked the fever of Peter's mother. It may be in the same house. But here you have our Lord rebuking fleshly ambitions. He asked him the question, what were you disputing about on the way down here? They didn't say a word. So he sat down. You can just see him sitting down in the house and picking up a child, a baby or maybe a little fellow, a little girl, took the child in his arms. Can't you see the picture? The Lord Jesus sitting down, the Lord of creation, sitting down with a babe in his arms. You remember? He'd just been on the Mount of Transfiguration and the glory. And now he's sitting down with a baby in his arms to teach his disciples a lesson on humility. An amazing thing, isn't it? But you know, it's an amazing thing to me about these disciples. And yet, it shouldn't be. What were you disputing? They had been disputing among themselves who should be the greatest. Who were these fellows? Fishermen, tax gatherers, publicans, name it. Here are 12 of them. 11 of them from Galilee, humble men. They were not men of the schools. In fact, they called them ignorant men. And yet, they had ambitions to be somebody. And the world would say, good for them. No, Jesus said, that's not so. If you want to be great, then you've got to be the servant of all. You see, the world says, look out for number one. If you don't look out for yourself, nobody else will. Jesus said just the opposite. Jesus said, you'll be the servant of all. You see, friend, humility is the sign of greatness in the kingdom of God. How many great men are there? I mean, in God's sight. In God's sight. You see, pride is one of the commonest sins of men. We're all ambitious for power, for position, to be somebody, to have something. And this is not only true in politics, in business, in society. It's also true among God's people. We even see it here among these fishermen and tax gatherers. Want to be somebody. Let me tell you, my friend, the closer you walk with the Savior, the less ambition you have to be somebody. I was thinking of that verse in 2 Corinthians 5:9, the revised text where Paul says, being ambitious to be found pleasing to him. Being ambitious to be found pleasing to Christ. What's the ambition of your life? To be somebody? To have a place of honor? To be high up in politics? To be the boss of the business? To have a lot of money? To have people kowtow to you? Common thing. Pride is the root sin. What caused Satan to fall? He wanted to be somebody. You remember in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 speaks of it. When he said, I will be like the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I'm going to be like the Most High. Ambition. Pride. How did Adam and Eve fall? Same thing. While isn't Eve, if God loved you as you think he does, he'd give you everything. You're missing something. All Satan had to do was to get Eve occupied with Eve. She was gone. All he needs to do with you and me is to get us occupied with ourselves instead of Christ. He'll do anything to get us occupied with anything but Christ. He'll even get you occupied with religious things and good things. Anything but Christ. And here are these disciples. Where's Peter, James, and John been? They've been on the Mount of Transfiguration. I wonder if Peter, James, and John thought they were superior to the rest of the disciples. I don't know. But they were having a discussion who's going to be the greatest of them all. Ah, friend, we see it among God's people just as we see it in the world. And the Lord Jesus said, listen to him, if any man desires to be first, the same shall be last of all and the servant of all. He took a child, took him in his arms, and he said, whosoever shall receive one such children in my name receiveth me. Whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. By the way, what a privilege, huh? What a privilege. What an illustration. He took a babe in his arms. What an encouragement for us to help even those who are the least and the weakest. And if I were an artist, I'd like to paint that picture of Jesus sitting with a young baby in his arms, I don't know how old. And he wasn't upbraiding his disciples. He just gave them a simple lesson. I think sometimes they were ashamed of what they were discussing. You remember one time, the mother of John and James came to the Lord and said, Lord, when you come to your kingdom, please put John on one side of you and James on the other. They didn't know what they were asking. And Jesus said, it's not mine to give. Are you willing to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They said, we are. And they did suffer. James was beheaded. John suffered. It's not mine to give, said Jesus. I like that picture of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. Do you remember that picture? The Lord takes the lambs to his bosom. And you read down in the chapter, he says, the nations of the earth are just a dust in the balance, just a drop in the bucket. Yea, they're less than nothing. He talks about the sovereignty of God, his majesty, his power, his glory in that chapter. And yet right in the very middle of it, he picks up and he says he takes the lambs to his bosom. I tell you, oh, how the Lord takes the weak ones, the frail ones, the ones that you and I cast out, the Lord picks up. And sometimes I think, you know, that this is what shamed John. In the next two verses, John said, Master, we saw one casting out demons in your name, and he followed not us. And we forbade him because he followed not us. Jesus said, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. Here he rebukes sectarianism. Here he pleads for humility. And then turns round and rebukes sectarianism. Or if I may change it, he rebuked fleshly ambition. And now rebukes sectarianism. You see, John says, we saw a man casting out demons in your name. We stopped him. Why? Because he wasn't one of our group. He didn't follow us. Yeah, oh, how true that is today. I say how true that is today. We want God to work through our group, through our organization, through our pet group. And if somebody gets saved through somebody else, you begin to question it. May the Lord keep us from an intolerant spirit. That's what he's talking about. For example, you take in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verses 26 to 29. Do you remember where Moses was ready to die? He asked the Lord to die. He said, these people are too much for me. I'm through with them. And God caught him up into the mountain with the 70 elders. Do you remember that? And he took the power from Moses and divided it among the 70 elders. And they all prophesied on the mountain. But there were two fellows in the valley who didn't go up there. And they began to prophesy. Eldad and Medad, if I remember their names. And you remember how Joshua came to Moses and said to Moses, rebuke them, rebuke them. No, 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 said Moses. Would to God that all his people were prophets. Huh? Or you take Paul in the epistle to the Philippian church. Here's Paul in jail. And while he's in jail, there are some preaching Christ out of love, and some are preaching Christ out of contention. And what does Paul say? I praise the Lord, whether he's been preached in contention or preached in love, as long as Christ is preached. What does Paul mean, as long as people are hearing about my Savior? Even though the channel might not be what I'd like it to be, as long as people are hearing about my Savior. I say, you know, it's an amazing thing how we don't rejoice because God is using some other group or some other preacher. May the Lord deliver us. May the Lord deliver us. If they are seeking to destroy the kingdom of the devil, you rejoice with us. See? Are we happy when souls are being saved in some other church, in some other organization? You know, I was amazed one time. I was at a preacher's conference in Grand Rapids, Michigan, some years ago. And I was sitting alongside of a man, a preacher, a big church. And one of the men, one of the other preachers, pastor of a smaller church, in fact, a very small church, said, I'd like to encourage you, man. He got up and gave a testimony of how the preceding Sunday so many had come forward to be saved, and how this fellow was filled with joy because these people were getting saved in his meeting. And this man next to me said to me in a low voice, well, Mitchell, he said, I questioned whether they were really saved or not. I said, what makes you say that? Well, they weren't saved in my church. I looked at him in amazement. I'm telling you, I was amazed that a man would take that stand. And yet the spirit of that is very prevalent today in America. Are you happy when somebody else is saved in somebody else's church? Or does it have to be through your church, or through your organization, or through you, or through your ministry, or through my ministry? It's a subtle thing. They were disputing among themselves who should be the greatest, and Jesus said, humility is a sign of greatness. Do you remember in John 13, our Lord took a towel and girded himself and washed the disciples' feet. He became the servant to his own disciples. And he said to them, I have given you an example that what I have done, you should do one to the other. Like you have it in Galatians 6:1, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore him in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. May the Lord deliver us from a censorious spirit. May the Lord deliver us from an intolerant spirit. And I oftentimes think that we hinder each other, and we hinder the movement of the Spirit of God in our midst because of pride of what we are and what we belong to. So he took a little child in his arms and said, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall have his reward. Let me just stop here. There are a lot of weak Christians. There are a lot of babes in Christ. And it's so easy for us to take a stand of superiority over some of these babes in Christ. What they need, my friend, is some love, some tenderness, some understanding, some compassion. They don't need a club. If they love the Savior, accept their word for it. If they're doing things that you think they shouldn't do, don't be censorious. Just like the Lord Jesus, take them in your arms. Love them because they love the Savior. The weak ones, the helpless ones. Oh, may the Lord, and I said very reverently, may the Lord deliver me and deliver you from the same spirit that John manifested when he said they weren't following us. And the answer of our Savior, if he's destroying the work of the devil, if he's for us, let's be with them too. And I tell you, my Christian friend, if ever there was a need for us believers, evangelicals, to manifest, shall I say, to communicate to the outside world and to communicate to other Christians who may not agree with you doctrinally, manifesting love and grace. As I said to one person, wanted to discuss things, and I said, we've got no ground of discussion, but if you love the Savior, let us redeem the time and bring as many as we can to the Lord. You only know in part, and I only know in part, and if we had lived for 100 years saying the Word of God, we still wouldn't begin to know all that God has for us. Let's then together, in the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of tenderness and compassion, understanding one of the other, let us seek to glorify Him. And remember, humility is the sign of greatness in the kingdom of God. And he that shall be first has got to be last, and to be the servant of all. Jesus said that. And what he said was true. May the Lord bless you today for his precious, precious name's sake.